Today we will be in Matthew, so if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're in our Characters of Christmas series, second week, and today we're looking at Joseph. Joseph, the legal father of Jesus, I guess you'd say. Matthew 1, 18 through 20, and this is the New American Standard version. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, since he was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had thought this over, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together. God, we thank you once again for your life-giving and life-changing word. God, we pray that it would speak to our hearts as only you can bring it, and help us to move with a further installment of your grace now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you ever had a time where you've questioned God and wondering what in the world he's doing, what he's up to, if you ever questioned him about a matter, this may be a good sermon for you. Or maybe you've been at the point where you've said to God, well, I know your word says that you never allow us to be tempted beyond what we can endure. But I'm starting to wonder, maybe you got me confused with somebody else. Or maybe you have sought out to do what was right in the sight of the Lord, and others saw you as they misunderstood you, or maybe you got falsely accused of doing something, and you had to suffer pain because of that. Well, today we look at Joseph, who dealt with all that stuff. And Joseph, we know little about. He's basically seen more as supporting cast in the nativity scene. But despite the very little we know, he doesn't mention one word. There's not one word of him saying anything in Scripture. So we know very little about him. But despite that, and the very little attention that he has been given, and the very little we know about him, there's still a lot the Lord can teach to us about him and encourage us in the faith. We know that not just what some scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, but all scripture, as we read in Timothy, all scripture is God-breathed and profitable and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now we know that there's no one that can describe a person with a few little words more than God can. God can really paint a picture of someone with very few words. For example, with, like Abraham. Abraham believed God. And then Enoch walked with God. Or someone like David, a man after God's own heart. Really able to describe them with just a few words. Well, he does that with Joseph. We read, God says, Joseph was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. What do we think of when we think of Joseph? We often think of maybe just the guy that completes the nativity scene, or maybe just the man that was betrothed to Mary during the Immaculate Conception. But we should think of Joseph, what first comes to our mind should be that Joseph was a righteous man. So what does that word righteous mean? What do you think of when you hear that word righteous? Maybe you think of trying to live right, to be right with God. Or maybe you think of someone being self-righteous. Maybe you think of Bill and Ted's bogus adventure, whatever you call it, right? Totally righteous. I think most of us, we think of righteous as a performance word. That we have to perform in such a way to become righteous. But that's not what it is. It's not a performance word, but more it's a position word. The position I am with God, the right relationship I have with God, and my action follows that. My righteous living comes from being made right with God because of Jesus. Because we know that, right, all have sinned, right, and fall short of the glory of God. And Peter says nobody is righteous. Like, on their own, he says nobody is righteous, not one. All hearts are deceitful. So on our own, we're not righteous. But because of Jesus, we become righteous. And our righteous living follows that right standing with God. And this is what Joseph was. He had a right standing with God. And his life showed that. His character reflected that. The decisions he made, how he treated Mary, the way he lived, and the fact that God called him a righteous man, it showed that he had a right relationship with God. And we look at the nativity story, and it shows that righteousness, that right standing with God. Like I said, we don't know too much about Joseph, but it's widely believed that he was a carpenter, and that he was a widower, and significantly older than Mary. If we look at Mark chapter 6, we can see evidence of that, and most likely that it speaks of Jesus's brothers and sisters, right, in the home. And where do you think those brothers and sisters came from? Joseph's previous marriage, his previous wife, and that fact that he died. He's not on the scene. He was there when Jesus was a little bit older, right, when he got lost in the temple, or when he got lost in Jerusalem. But then when Jesus is fully grown, when Jesus started his ministry, we don't see any evidence of Joseph being on the scene. So it's likely that he could have been significantly older than Mary, that he had passed by this time, by the time Jesus started his ministry. And of course, we see at the cross, right, he was not there. Mary was there. We know Mary was there at the cross. Don't you think Joseph would have been there if he was still alive? So he was not there. Joseph wasn't there. And so we assume that he had died. And probably because he was significantly older than Mary. And this is his second marriage that he's about to get into. I share all that because to show how much more painful that must have been for Joseph, how much more harder it must have been for him to accept that news that Mary was pregnant. How painful that would have been, that if you had a previous marriage, you had things going well, some children, and all of a sudden your wife dies, for whatever reason it might have been, and then you're going through a dark time, not sure how the future is going to go. Then you finally not just meet a potential wife, but a woman full of faith, and things are starting to look up, and that light at the end of the tunnel ends up being the headlamp of a train as you're sitting on the tracks, as you get hit and find out that she is pregnant. And he hadn't heard from the angel yet, right? He hadn't heard from the angel yet. It says after he thought about this, while he thought about it, chewed on it for a while, he really had to have a hard time. It must have hit him hard to hear that painful news. It must have crushed him, thinking that he had high hopes to get married with Mary and have a not just a wife, but someone to mother his children. And then, boom, finds out that she's pregnant. Of course, assuming, right, that it was from another man. He hadn't heard from the angel yet, assuming it is from another man. It doesn't take an OBGYN to know where babies come from, right? He knew where babies came from, and he knew it wasn't from him because they had not been together yet. Now, just a little bit to understanding of what it was like for like Jewish weddings and marriages. You would have a long engagement time, usually arranged by the families. That's probably a few years of an engagement time. But then there's the betrothment, and that is really it's things get serious. You say, "I accept," that engagement, and it's a year long betrothment, getting ready for the official marriage wedding proper. And so they were in that period of betrothment. They weren't officially married yet, but they were planning on it. And it's really, back then, there's really no turning back. But then he finds out she's pregnant, right? It's before the ceremony, before the consummation of the marriage. And he gets totally sideswiped with this news. And to see how he reacts, to see how Joseph reacts, really shows that he was a righteous man. See, he had the right. He had the right, according to Deuteronomy 22, 21, to do what to Mary? Have her stoned. That was his right. He could have requested that right away and had her stoned before he had heard from the angel. And most guys didn't do that. They had the right to do that, but most guys did not do that. And really, they would most likely just put her up for public shame. They'd take her to the town square and terribly shame her before the community. But he doesn't even do that. It shows that he shows his heart. And as the scripture says, that he was a righteous man and he didn't want to disgrace her. And so what does he do? He uses his other right, his right to remain silent. He used his right to remain silent. He wanted to divorce her quietly. He wanted to do it secretly and not disgrace her. Which really shows us a lot about what a righteous life looks like, what a righteous heart looks like. We don't get so hung up on our rights, right? There's a lot of talk about entitlement now, isn't there? Phil and I am entitled to everything, not working at all for anything, but deserving everything, right? Entitlement. Well, you want to give yourself a lot of headaches, a lot of heartache, go that direction thinking the world's here to serve you, that I'm entitled to everything. And we know that what precedes a great fall is a heart of pride, right? And that's walking in pride, thinking everybody's here to serve me, and I'm entitled to everything. Jesus put it this way, he who tries to hold on to his life and his rights will lose it. But the one who loses his life, in a way gives up his rights for my sake, will find it. That person will find life, find what life's really all about. Walking like Jesus, finding the abundant life that's only found in surrendering to him and taking up your cross, denying yourself and taking up your cross and following him. And the more harder we squeeze, right? It's like squeezing jello. The harder we squeeze, try to hold on to our life and call the shots, the more we lose, right? The more peace we lose, the more love we lose, the more patience, great gentleness, joy that we lose. When Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve, he not only was revealing his plan to die for us on the cross, but he was also revealing the way to life, the way to the abundant life as God created us, to think of putting others' interests first. How do I serve that other person? And do that, and we'll be surprised by joy. I don't know how many times that I have had that moment where I felt like I was entitled to something. Maybe it's that piece of cake or that place in line. I don't know, something small like that. And I end up getting bummed out. You know, getting let down, disappointed, and bummed out. How many times has that happened where we think, oh, I deserve this, and then all of a sudden we get knocked down, right? But how many times have we been pleasantly surprised when I seek to serve somebody else and I get more blessed in the process than I ever imagined? Maybe you think of a mission trip you went on or just someone you went next door and served and found great joy. And you were surprised by great joy by just serving them. Jesus said, come to me all who are heavy laden, who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Nothing burdens our souls more than entitlement. Think of we deserve it all. And the way to rest that Jesus speaks of is the cross, taking up the cross, denying ourselves, and taking up the cross and following him, putting at times my interests aside so the glory of God can be seen. And by the way, we don't ever want to go to God and say, God, give me what I deserve, right? That's a bad choice of words if you're speaking to God, because he knows everything we deserve. The Bible says that All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the payment of sin, we've all sinned. But the payment of sin is what? Death. Eternal death, punishment. That's what we deserve. But thankfully there's a but. But the grace, but the gift of God, the gift of God, which is through grace, by grace, through faith, that's something we don't deserve. That's grace. So we want to say, God, give me grace. That's what we should say. Not think of what I'm entitled to, but what can I do to serve others and glorify God? And Joseph, we see he did that because he didn't take up his rights, the right to stone Mary or the right to have her publicly shamed, but he was silent. He wanted to divorce her secretly. But then the angel speaks. After he chewed on this for a while, after many sleepless nights, what is going on here? I thought Mary was this godly woman. And so he's chewing on this. Probably couldn't sleep for a couple nights at least. And then when he's finally able to sleep, he has a message from Gabriel, the angel. And it's very significant what he calls him, how he addresses him. He says, Joseph, not just Joseph, but Joseph, son of David. Joseph, son of David. That would have done a few things here. First off, it would have reminded him of God's plan. Reminded him of God's plan, how the Messiah was going to come, as we know, through the line of David, right? And it was going to reign on that kingly throne forever. So it would have reminded him of that plan, but also it would have reminded him that he is a part of it. He's going to be a part of that plan now. And so he would have been a little bit encouraged to hear that son being reminded, son of David, reminded of the prophecy, this is the Messiah coming. But it would also would have reminded him of the plan despite David. Right, we know David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? But he was at one time a man after another man's wife, right? And he would have remembered, you know, how God dealt with that, dealt with him. God did forgive him. He reminded him that David was not perfect, that he committed adultery and murder. And maybe that kind of started to soften him up a little bit with Mary before he heard where the baby really came from. I would imagine that would have softened him up, thinking, son of David. Yeah, David, not just the king and the giant slayer, but the adulterer and the murderer. And so maybe he was a little bit more willing to accept to continue on with the marriage with Mary before hearing the next few words. The next words that we hear from Gabriel, this would have sealed the deal for him. He says, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because this baby, not from a man, it is from the Holy Spirit. What would he have been afraid of? Why would the angel say, don't be afraid to take her home to be your wife? He might have been afraid of future pain. He already just received a little bit of disappointing news. He might have thought, well, I don't know if this is really going to happen or not the way I expect it. He might have been afraid of that, of future disappointment, but also, I think, mainly afraid of what others would think. Afraid of what people in the community would think. You know, as a righteous person, he really valued living right for God. And he it would greatly pain him to have other people thinking that he was, you know, maybe putting the, I guess you say, having the cake before the meal, right? That Mary is pregnant before they are married. And what that other people would think of him. Oh, we're, you know, yeah, sure. I bet it was from the Holy Spirit, Joseph. Yeah. Well, okay. Heard that one before. Imagine trying to explain that to the community, that this is not my baby, right? Or maybe other people thinking down on him for accepting Mary. Why didn't you get rid of her if it was from another person, right? And imagine what his, you know, what would have thought for his, what his clients would have thought. If he was a carpenter, right? And most likely he probably worked for other Jewish families, right? And to find out that he was fornicating before marriage, right? What that would have done what kind of blemish that would have put on his character and his, especially his work relationships. He might have lost some job. People thinking that he was not faithful to God. But Gabriel says, "Do not be afraid. God's gonna take care of you. I know this is gonna be hard. There's gonna be some consequences because of this, of Mary, of this virgin birth, and what people are gonna think. But don't be afraid, Joseph. God has got this, and this has been planned a long time ago. Don't worry. God knows what he's doing." You see, it reminds us that the righteous trust and obey God no matter what the consequences may be. Trust and obey God no matter what those consequences may be. Now, when we first come to faith, there's all kinds of consequences, right? Consequences of losing friendships. May have to lose a lot of friendships because of your relationship with Christ now. Maybe a job. You just can't work that job as a Christian. Or maybe sometimes, at some points, family. Losing family in order to follow Jesus, especially if you're a Muslim, right? They won't just disconnect you, but they'll actually come try to hunt you down and even possibly kill you. But Jesus said, whatever cost you have had to face, whatever consequences for following me, maybe you lost family. But Jesus said, you're going to gain a greater family, the family of God 100-fold more. And Joseph, don't you worry. God has got this. Don't not be afraid to take Mary home. Whatever consequences you may face, God's going to take care of you. He's got it. One last point to learn from Joseph's life today is, Joseph had to have had a lot of questions, right? A lot of questions of what was going on. And not having those fully answered, even after seeing Jesus grow up and finding out, yeah, this truly is the Son of God, and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and this is God in the flesh. Seeing Jesus grow up, I'm sure that started to answer some of his questions, but not completely. As I said before, he was not there. When Jesus died on the cross, he was not able to be there to see that question fully answered by seeing why Jesus came and why he had to be born of a virgin birth and why Joseph and Mary had to deal with so much conflict, not just between probably each other, but also through the community, that it was because Jesus had to come as a virgin to so that he can be sinless and come and save us on the cross. And so, but that reminds us, there might be times where God doesn't answer all our questions. We might not get the answer until heaven. But as righteous, living as the righteous do, we trust, we continue to trust and obey him, and we continue to find that God will continue to give me what I need, that I don't have to stand upon the explanations of God, but upon the promises of God that he has brought into his word. God doesn't have to explain everything to us for us to obey him. By the way, if he had to, sometimes we probably wouldn't obey him anyhow, right? But we don't rest upon the explanations of God, but upon the promises of God and the character of God. Let's pray together. God, we do thank you for those promises you give us. Thank you that many questions we've had, 2020 now, a crazy year. But we know, God, that you are with us. We know that you give us more than we need to face anything. And God, we pray that all our questions that we may have, especially when it comes to faith and why not knowing what you may be up to in our lives, help us to continue to follow you in faith, looking at your track record and how faithful you have been, and especially looking at Jesus, born of a virgin, and how you sent your son to save us. And to answer the greatest question is, what's life about? How do I become saved? Is through Jesus and finding life through him. Help us to live out your word this week in Jesus' name. Amen.